Hey guys, Trevor here with E-commerce Paradise, High Ticket Dropshipping Podcast. Today's episode, I'm going to talk all about branding for e-commerce. Before we get started, if you'd like to get your own high ticket dropshipping store started, but skip all the hard work and the hassle of doing it yourself and fast track your way to success, take a look at my turnkey high ticket dropshipping store package. I can build a complete branded high ticket dropshipping store for you in a matter of maybe 30 to 60 days, get suppliers on board, get the ad account launched, get social media going, get products uploaded, and even get your website optimized, all included for one low price. Go check out ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. Watch my free training and get your own store today. All right, guys, so branding for e-commerce is really, really exciting. There's so many different ways you can go about increasing your brand image and optimizing your brand so that customers from the outside and from the inside of your business will have a better experience overall and want to buy from you, want to do more business with you, and want to share your business with their friends. Okay, so branding kind of starts with image, right? Whenever somebody lands on your website, they're going to be reading a book by its cover, in a sense. Even before that, actually, if you think about it, when somebody lands on a search engine results page from a search they're doing and they see your name, that's when your branding starts, okay? So it starts with your name, your brand name, your store name, basically your domain name. And it starts with your SEO that you're doing, your content marketing, your meta descriptions, meta title, things like that. That all is really important stuff for branding. Now for retail, branding is really specifically based around a retailer's perspective, which is sales and service, and then promoting the brand's products. Whereas a brand's perspective of branding is all about building a recognizable brand name and building out model names and SKU numbers that are recognizable so that you can increase your search volume for that. From a retailer's perspective, though, it's all about promoting what your brand is, your suppliers have already done to do all that work for you. Okay, and that's why high ticket dropshipping and dropshipping in general is just a great way to get started with e-commerce if you're first getting started, because you're working with suppliers that have already done all the hard work for you of branding their products. Okay, so if you want to build your own brand, just know what you're getting yourself into. It's a lot of work. You got to build a brand image, a logo. You got to come up with a catchy name, and you got to have a good story behind it. You got to come up with model names and SKU numbers. You got to buy barcodes for your products. There's a lot of stuff that comes up with branding and good branding, and branding to increase your search engine presence, your searchability. Okay, so consider that. But for retailers, you're already working off the back of their hard work, and so you can just basically optimize for SEO and make your website really well branded for the retail experience. Now, a lot of high ticket products specifically are made by suppliers that put a lot of cash up front and a lot of capital, a lot of resources, big warehouses, big, you know, productions, big containers full of these products. It's a lot of work manufacturing these products, shipping them and warehousing them and fulfilling them. So they don't necessarily want to do all the retail stuff themselves. They're really good at product development. They're really good at manufacturing. They're really good at, you know, warehousing, fulfillment, shipping, all that stuff. So they would rather work with a base of dealers that will take the retail off of their back. All that work that it comes with dealing with customer by customer, individual customers and consumers, businesses, things like that, to sell the product and then to actually provide customer service during and after the sale. So with that said, you have to come up with a really good retail store brand image and story to be able to optimize for conversions, okay? So first step is kind of understanding a good brand name for a retailer. Retailers oftentimes will have a keyword in their name that is relevant to the product category, like espresso machines, for instance, and then a branding word after that. Okay, this isn't for every retailer out there, but a lot of retailers go different directions, but retailers that are category killers, in other words, ones that sell just a single category and go really deep in that category and do really well, those retailers are often going to do that style of brand name. So Espresso Machine City, for instance, .com, that would be a retail brand. Whereas if you were to create a brand of espresso machines and manufacture them, you might call yourselves DeVille Espresso Machines, right? Which is actually, I believe, a espresso machine brand. So just consider that the branding name coming first and it being kind of a esoteric name, something that doesn't really make sense, maybe someone's last name or a first name or something like that, or middle name, That is more like on the brand of the suppliers, right? Whereas for the retailers, you want to come up with a normal name, something that sounds like a community or a place you would go to buy something, a market, after the niche name, okay? So that's how you go about doing it. I have a whole list of these brandable names, brand words on YouTube. If you go search my YouTube channel, E-commerce Paradise, type in how to find a domain name for your e-commerce store, you will find a video that gives you a whole list, like 50 of these brandable words for your store. I came up with a bunch of them. So go look at that and subscribe on YouTube, youtube.com/ecommerceparadise. But branding obviously goes a lot deeper than that. So let's talk about more. Branding, of course, it's really important to think about your colors. Okay, so go on Google and type in colors for branding and what they mean or something like that. You should find some really good images, search images. You find some really good images that explain the meaning of colors, the emotions behind colors. Blue means, you know, safe. Red means, you know, stop, or it means like exciting, or it means, you know, something terrible is going to happen. Orange is also a color of excitement, so is yellow. Green is more of a color of, you know, the earth and something eco-friendly. Black is a color of luxury, you know, so is gold and silver. So consider, you know, what the colors mean and what you want your brand image to look like and sound like, what your niche is and what the market's like and what they want. So you kind of have to come up with like the perfect fit between all that to come up with a good brand color set. But usually you choose two or three different colors, and I usually choose black as the, like a black and gray as the medium colors, and then one main color. That's usually what I do, because you're selling high ticket products, you want to have some sort of a luxury feel to it. So I always choose black and gray, and then, you know, a color like a yellow or a green or a blue or a red or something like that. All right, so consider that. And then when you have your color swatches, you want to find specific versions of those colors. Like black is black, but you want to have a specific color of gray or a specific color of red or blue or orange. I would take that from your competitors. So they've already done the hard work to find the right shade of blue. Just go to Google Images and find your competitor's image and use a color picker Chrome extension and find the exact 6-digit code for that color, and then you can send that to your graphic designer, have them make the logo. Because if you just tell them blue, they're going to choose a random color of blue. Like, it's probably not going to be right, you know? So think about that. All right, so we got the domain name, we got a logo now, we got a color set. As far as the logo goes, you want to have it designed like most retailers do, where you have an icon to the left and the wording to the right, and it's a rectangle style logo. That's usually the way I do it, because it fits the best in a header of a website, fits the best in emails, doesn't take up too much vertical space on the website, which allows most of the product listing to show up above the fold, which is important, above the scroll. And logos should be done simply. Something that someone would be looking like they could wear on their t-shirt or something like that. Don't have too complicated of a logo. Have something printable. And these really simple logos should just be icons that represent the product or represent the lifestyle. So take a look at competitors and find some really simple logos, and just find something that's good enough, that's like a silhouette style logo. All right, so get your logo done. Your homepage banner should be very nice, should have people smiling on it, should be the colors of your brand, and should promote whatever sale or promotion you have going on right now. And I usually change banners every sales holiday and use the same image to promote within remarketing ads and emails and social media. All right, so banners are important. You can find some really great banner designers on Fiverr, and when you have a great high quality professional banner made, it makes a big difference to your brand recognition and, you know, the kind of trust that it builds when it looks more professional and not just like you did it yourself. All right, and then I think the next important thing is your story. I think story could actually be the most important thing out of this all, but we'll just talk about it next. So your story is all about, number one, for a retailer, what is your unique selling proposition? Okay, that's really important. And what do you do? So usually on the About Us page, you know, we talk about what do, who do we help, okay? And then what's our unique selling proposition? In other words, what kind of special deals are you getting because, you know, buying from us as opposed to going to the competitors? Are you getting free shipping? Are you getting, you know, easy returns? Are you getting, you know, no sales tax? Are you getting free curbside delivery? All these things matter a lot. You got to talk about them in your, in a, like a bullet point list in your About Us page. And then you want to tell a story about why, who you are and why you started the company, who the founders are. You don't doesn't have to be you, but you got to make up a story about, you know, an alias founder at least. You could talk about yourself if you want to be the man or woman behind the business, but you don't have to be. It, you know, if you don't want to put yourself out there, that's perfectly fine. You can make an alias up. And you got to tell some sort of a story, because when you tell a story about why you started the business, it's going to resonate with your target audience a lot more. And when you write that into your about page, people are going to check that out. And you should also include it in within the first couple of emails that you send to any new consumers that sign up for your promotions list, for your discount code. Send that same page in an email and ask them, tell them about yourself, and then send them an email and say, hey, why did you buy from us, to new customers? And they'll often tell you it's because, hey, I read your about page, I liked your story, you know, I found you guys first in the search engine results, and you had the best deal, you know, I read all the reviews, they sounded great, that kind of stuff. So just know that having a really nice long about page with broken up content that makes a lot of sense, who, what, why, when, where, how, you know, answer all those typical questions consumers ask about you and who you are, talk about where you're from, because that builds trust, and have contact information and links to social media, okay? And even link to a blog post that goes more in depth about your story. I've done that in every store that I've done. It really helps because it brings people down into like an experience, a customer experience more. And it really helps to convert customers over the long run. And you can use the same content, like I said, in emails, retargeting ads, things like that. Okay. All right. And then branding also goes down to every page on your website, your collections page, your product page, your cart page. You got to optimize your cart page and product page and collection page for your brand image and your supplier's brand. So tell the story and talk about why they should buy from you on every page of your website as possible. And then, you know, with your product pages, optimize for copy, you know, get to do good copywriting, optimize for copy, and talk really in depth about the features and benefits and the lifestyle, benefits the consumer will get from the products, that kind of stuff. And you'll be able to build a brand that's trustworthy, because if every page on your website has quality content on it, and you build really good quality blog posts with quality images, and you make quality videos, all this stuff kind of plays into the consumer's mind of who you are as a company, who you are as a person. Are you more professional? Are you trustworthy? Things like that. So let's just say every single page on your website, it's quality or not. If it's quality, 1 point for you. If it's not, less than a point, or less a point. You know, just think about that. So how many points do you want to build up in your consumer's mind? Let's say you need 10 points before a consumer will make a purchase from you. They land on your product page, it's good, boom, plus a point. They go to your about page, it's great, boom, plus a point, plus 2 points. They go to a blog post, boom. You know, they see you on Facebook, a bunch of likes, boom, that's another point. They go back to a collection page, it's great, it's got a guide on it, you know, boom, 1 point. And then they get back to the product they want, and now they're like, well, this company looks really trustworthy, let me look at their reviews. Great reviews, boom, another point, and go to the cart page. Oh, there's an offer right now, a deal. And there's upsells. Yeah, totally. And now you've won the customer, okay? And that's it's the whole experience that they went through. That's your brand image. Okay, and it doesn't end there. You have to, as soon as a customer places an order, you have to follow up with them. So create automated email sequences. Use the same content, like I was saying. And, you know, work with your suppliers so that things ship out on time and appropriately. And use an app called AfterShip so that you get shipping updates. So you know when things go wrong and stuff. And throughout the customer experience, make sure you provide them with great customer support, whether something goes wrong or not, whether it's perfect or, you know, things get damaged, whatever. Just take care of things quickly. Do the best you can to find a solution that's suitable. If it does cost you some money to fix it, just spend the money and, you know, fix it so that the consumer doesn't freak out. Because the worst thing that can happen is consumer freaks out, files a chargeback, or even worse, goes online and leaves bad reviews of you. And that just looks bad, because everybody knows a consumer that leaves a bad review, they know the consumer's kind of a baby, but this, at the same time, they know that you probably didn't do everything you could to take care of that consumer, okay? So it kind of just looks bad on you that you don't have the best customer support. So you got to take care of the customer no matter what. Customers can be like little babies sometimes. You got to take care of them, give them their bottle. So yeah, and you know, using video at every point along the way is going to really help increase your brand image. And asking consumers to refer you to their friends and colleagues and family That'll help increase your brand image. And using branded merchandise helps a lot too. Like if you have a really good logo, you can put on a t-shirt and automatically ship a shirt out to every customer, that kind of thing. It's pretty cool. People will wear your shirt and take a picture with it. You can have a contest or something and use social media and grow it from there. You can also create shirts with common slogans in your niche that people use. And you know, sell them on your website or just provide them as bonuses or, you know, do sweepstakes and stuff like that to gain followers. All that kind of stuff builds brand image. Okay, but I think the number one thing that's gonna build brand image over time is storytelling, content, quality content, and the way you treat customers, and you know, how good your suppliers are, really. Because if your suppliers are great, you'll look great as a retailer. If suppliers suck, product quality sucks, you're gonna look shitty as a retailer. So you have to hook up with good suppliers and drop the bad ones. And when things go wrong, you just gotta take care of the customers, no matter what, even if it costs you a bunch of money. And keep tabs of good suppliers and bad suppliers. When you have product issues that happen, you know, make a tally mark of that and an explanation in a spreadsheet and say, okay, it was this supplier, this product had that issue. And then over time, every month or every quarter or every year, whatever, look at that and see which suppliers are having the most issues with their products and address that with the supplier. And if they're willing to fix it, great. If they're not, then you know, you might want to make the hard decision of dropping them if the amount of orders versus, you know, that are processed successfully versus the amount of orders that are processed with issues. If that ratio gets too out of whack, then you might want to just drop the supplier and work with the ones that are better. So keep that in mind. Your suppliers are going to rub off your reputation, and it's going to make you either look like a good company or a bad company. And vice versa too. If you treat the customer badly, it'll rub off badly on your supplier's brand image. Okay. So you're in partnership with your suppliers. You have to have a good brand image and treat your customers well, and, you'll be treating them well in the process. And you know, it goes both ways. So demand respect from your suppliers and good relationship, treat them well, and a good relationship will ensue. All right, guys. So there's tons more amazing intricacies about brand image and stuff like that, but I covered most of it that has to do with high ticket dropshipping. Now, if we're talking about designing your own product, you're going to be doing what all the suppliers themselves are doing. And what I see a lot of entrepreneurs doing, especially digital nomads, is you don't have to design high ticket products, big, expensive, bulky products. You should probably start with something really small, easy to ship, easy to fulfill. Very low cash flow intensive, but very high profit, and you know, sell through a platform like Amazon and Shopify at the same time, maybe even eBay too, and you know, build a brand image like that your supplier would do, like a brand would do. There's a lot of trending products these days, and there's a lot of opportunity in that space. I have a friend that's doing a product right now that only costs him $1,500 per bulk shipment. And, you know, he only has to order once every couple of months. And so it's very low cash flow intensive, but it's very high profit. And they're able to make, you know, a good amount of money. And, you know, boom, that's way easier way to start off than having to shell out $10,000 just for an upfront shipment or $15,000. You know, so consider what kind of product you're going to get into and how much cash flow you have on hand to do that with. And know that you're going to be the brander. So you got to have a brand name. You got to know what generic keywords you're going to target, what category keywords you want to target. And you also have to make model names and SKU numbers for every product you make, especially if they're a little bit different variants. You know, make model names for each one. Because when you make a trendy model name, it increases the searchability of that product way more. Okay, when your suppliers have trendy model names, you can target those keywords in the search terms, and you'll be able to get that traffic that already knows about it and wants to buy it now. That's the key to it. So don't just make generic products. It doesn't really help brands. It doesn't help your brand image. It also doesn't help your retailers, and it doesn't, you know, help the searchability. So build model names, build SKU numbers that are recognizable and that people are going to want to search online. And also, a really good idea with products is, you know, building scarcity into your product, okay? A lot of times, people only associate high worth of a product, of a commodity, with how scarce it is. And you can look at gold or diamonds and see this perfectly being played out because they're very scarce, and that's the only reason why they're worth a lot. If you were to, you know, put a price on copper or steel or tin or whatever, some other element, it's just another element, okay? But the deal is, all that stuff, it's much easily sourceable. And so think about that and consider building scarcity into your brand. Even, you know, like I do all the time, I put scarcity into my retail website. Only two left, even though I know there's plenty more available than that. You just say only a couple left. And then the consumer in their mind's like, oh shoot, I got to order now. You know, even if it says the sale's ending, there's only two left, someone else might buy it. Okay, that happens in all of our heads. And that's why we buy things, is because of scarcity. So there's that. And if you're building a brand image, then scarcity means like limited runs. You know, like if you're going to produce a shoe, for instance, you know, only make 100 of them or something like that. Limited edition stuff, you can sell for way more. You can sell for like 2 to 3 times or more what it would have been worth normally. I mean, you got to go out of your way to make an amazing design, of course, and, you know, have an amazing name. Collaborations often work really well with name brands that are already established in the space if you're a smaller brand. But besides that, making a limited run of anything and promoting the heck out of it being a limited run is going to get people to buy it now as opposed to wait and procrastinate. Okay. It just is what it is. A lot of really top brands do this kind of stuff, and it just almost guarantees you're going to sell out of that first run that you make. And that cash flow you get is going to allow you to make another limited edition run or keep promoting it. The only problem, of course, with limited edition runs is one, you only make a certain amount. So all that work you did to promote that, you're just gonna have to do it all over again, make a new design, make another limited edition. If you're up to that, then great, go for it. If you think you can keep coming out with awesome designs that are going to run out, you know, boom, do it. But of course, not every design is probably gonna be the best seller, okay? I know this one bicycle brand called State Bicycle, they make fixed gear bikes and other types now, but you know, I don't know if they're still doing it now, but a lot of their work back in the day was on limited edition runs. They have like 2 or 3 flagship models, but most of their stuff is limited edition stuff. So it's like collabs and things like that, certain colorways. They'd only make, you know, a certain amount. They'd be available for a month or so, and then they'd sell out and they'd have to make another one. And they'd have a bunch of listings on their website that said, you know, sold out. And then the ones that are in stock, when they come into stock, they do a whole event. They do a launch event and boom, it's done. And then they make another colorway. Okay, so this kind of stuff works with marketing sales really well, and it makes your brand be more valuable as well. Okay, so the scarcity of your products that you create rubs off on the brand as well, makes the brand more scarce and thus more valuable. And so you can make your brand, your retail brand, more valuable just by putting scarcity into your website on your product pages. It's pretty interesting how that works. But yeah, build special limited edition things, you know, do launches for them. And do collaborations and use influencers to promote them. Okay, because influencers already have a huge audience. It's really easy to get a hold of influencers these days. You just direct message them and say, hey, how much did it cost to promote my product on whatever social media channel they have? And, you know, if it costs whatever amount and that's within your budget or within the, you think the cash flow, you know, for the project, for the launch, then you should be good. So go and find some influencers. This kind of stuff happens all the time in the info product space. Info products, in and of themselves are unlimited, right? But the creators oftentimes will have all sorts of scarcity built into them. You know, only a certain amount left in, limited time, sale, it's going to close down, all this stuff. That's the only reason why people buy info products. Otherwise, you know, someone is always going to be like, well, I could just buy it tomorrow or buy it the next day or buy it the next week. Let's see if it's like still around, you know, that kind of thing. But if you do limited time launches with stuff, oftentimes you'll make sales. Whereas if you just have something sitting around, people just won't buy it. That's what I've always experienced. It's so funny. But when I do a limited time launch on the masterclass, people buy. But when I have it sitting around, nothing happens. It's just how it goes. So you got to have that going. And that's, you know, even more so for high ticket information products. For low ticket information products, maybe you can just have like a straight funnel and an ads, you know, Facebook ad campaign, Google ad campaign running to it and, you know, make some sales here and there. But it's not highly profitable like high ticket info products are. Being that it's high ticket, it needs to be scarce, okay? It's like gold, or, you know, if you were to have a bunch of fake gold on the side of the street and you're trying to sell it for the same price as gold, people are going to call you out on it, right? So if you want to make your info product expensive, or your product expensive, whatever, you gotta market it like it's expensive, and it's gonna be quality like it's expensive. Okay, so keep that in mind. The quality of your product will rub off on the quality of your brand, and the scarcity of your product will rub off on the scarcity of your brand, and thus the worth of your brand. So get out there, guys. Make a really, really, really high quality brand. Take care of your customers. Tell a story, and be scarce. Be that diamond in the rough. And definitely, if you want me to build you a high-quality brand that's scarce, that's really, really good and tells a story, and do it for you so that you don't have to take your precious time to do it yourself, then go check out my turnkey service, where I'll actually build you a high-ticket dropshipping business from scratch and launch it for you in 30 to 60 days. So go check it out. There's free training as well at ecommerceparadise.com/turnkey. And I'll talk to you in the next episode. Take care.